Good morning, everybody. Well, today we start a new series called Seasons. Are you happy about that? Awesome. I'm happy about it, and you'll get happy about it. We'll make sure of that. But so we're going to talk about seasons. And, if there's anybody in the whole world who understands the concept of four distinct seasons, it's us, right? That's right. Midwesterners, oh yeah. Whether it's the cold, frigid evil of winter, or the fresh new growth of spring, which we're entering into right now, yeah. Or the warm, sunny days of summer, or the beautiful season of autumn. We get it, don't we? We understand this idea of four distinct seasons. And in fact, I want to take a little bit of a quick poll here. By the raising of your hands, you can indicate which season is your favorite. So how many of you would say winter is your favorite season? It's okay, we won't hurt you. Anybody? Oh, one? Really? No one else? You know what someone said to me? This was hilarious. Last service, this kid comes up to me and goes, "You know what? I like winter. You know why? Because there are no bugs." Yeah, so winter, that's not a big hit here, apparently. How about spring? How many of you love, that's your season, spring, huh? Okay, a few of you. How about fall, autumn? Wow, hold on, keep your hands up. Wow, look at all of you. Okay, how about summer, huh? Woo! Okay, so that, summer and fall, they've got a pretty good following here. If you stop and think about it, not only are the natural seasons that we experience very different, very unique, but so are the seasons that we journey through in our lives, right? Yeah, the seasons we journey through are very different, very unique in our lives. In fact, there's a passage of scripture that comes to mind, and it's the words of Solomon. It's found in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, and it goes like this, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. In fact, let's read it together. Let's read. "There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven." That is the reality of our lives, isn't it? That's the way it is. Sometimes we find ourselves experiencing the cold, bitter feel of winter in our lives. Other times we find ourselves in the middle of change and transition, so our lives feel a lot like the season of fall. And then, of course, there are those seasons of new beginnings, those seasons that feel a lot like springtime. And then, thankfully, once in a great while, there is that season, and there's nothing like that season of great joy and great celebration that we experience during those during that summer season of life. And what I think is that if we would pay close attention during these seasons, and as we journey through these seasons, I think what we discover is there is a lot to learn and to grow and to develop in as we experience these seasons in our lives. And so we're going to take these next 4 weeks as we lead up to Easter. Can you believe that? Easter is just a few weeks away. But these next few weeks leading up to Easter to talk about these seasons of life. And by the way, this would be a great season for you to invite a friend to, a loved one, an enemy, whoever. But it really would be a great series because it's at some point we all find ourselves experiencing one of these seasons. Now, here's what else I know about these seasons of life, okay? Oftentimes, these seasons can be extremely unpredictable, can't they? Yeah, these seasons can sort of just show up sometimes. Sometimes it seems like they show up out of nowhere, don't they? And they certainly have in mind, probably yours, something tragic perhaps that has occurred in your life. All of a sudden you find yourself in a season of winter just like that. And not only are these seasons sometimes unpredictable, but here's the other thing. You never know how long a particular season is going to last. That's right. I mean, if you think about it, you may experience winter for years. You may experience summer for a day or for a decade. And then, of course, we also know that these seasons of life, these seasons that we go through, don't necessarily correlate with the natural seasons we're experiencing either, do they? I mean, think about it. You can physically be experiencing a warm, hot summer while at the same time internally and emotionally be experiencing a very cold and bitter winter of suffering and pain in your life. They don't necessarily correlate. And my guess is that over these next few weeks, you're going to find that one of these seasons is where you're at right now, or you may be in between one of these seasons. But here's the thing. At some point, you will experience every one of these seasons in your life. It's inevitable. Now, today I want to begin by talking about my favorite season of the year. And now yesterday, our production team said, Scott, your shirt does not support the season you're teaching about. So today, I thought I'd wear a shirt that supports the season I'm talking about. Can anybody guess what season that is? Yeah, fall. Okay, that's right. Autumn, my favorite season of the year, and a bunch of you apparently as well. I love the season of autumn. As a matter of fact, yesterday what I did was I went into my iPhoto, and I started looking at some pictures. I take a lot of pictures, my little iPhone, and I'll Twitter them sometimes, Facebook, whatever. And so I went back to this last season of fall in my life and just skimmed through some of the pictures. So I thought I'd share a few of these pictures with you. You want to see some? All right, here's a few. Go ahead. That's outside my house, tree, beautiful colors, right? These are my my kids with their cousins at the pumpkin patch. That's me getting pulled over. that was not supposed to be in there. Keep going. That's two of my very, as you can see, very reserved children, Julia and Alex. My wife, she's a great planter of plants. And so there's some of those. It's my son hugging a pumpkin that's bigger than him. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So this is downtown Geneva. Great place to go during the fall, isn't it? Beautiful. Yeah, pumpkins, carving pumpkins. Yes, we're a very, very talented family. So this year, so one night, a couple of my friends, we went to Ballydoyle's, you know, it's a fun place to hang out, and they have that haunted house there during the fall time, and so I took a couple of my friends with me. One of them was Ted Egley, and I just thought it'd be good to point him out. I wasn't sure if you'd figure out which one he is. And then the guy on the far left, that's Larry Boatwright. But no, I'm kidding. All right, and I think there's one more, right? Yeah, there we go. Halloween at the Hodge House, my youngest daughter, she was dressed up like a nerd. She had the nerd candies all over her outfit. And then my son, Alejandro, he is Spider-Man, and actually thinks he is Spider-Man, too. So pray for him. Pray for our safety as well. But anyway, no, I love autumn. Man, there's nothing like the cool crisp days that we start experiencing, the leaves that turn beautiful, beautiful colors. They don't last nearly as long as we wish they'd last, right? But the fun of pumpkins, Halloween, all that stuff, putting on the sweaters, going on hay rides, it's really, really a good time of the year. But it's sort of an in-between time too, isn't it? It's like you know it's coming. In fact, there's a little poem that I love. It's by a lady named Carol Hipps, and it's called Bittersweet October. It goes like this. Bittersweet October, the mellow, messy, leaf-kicking, perfect pause between the opposing miseries of summer and winter. I think if you were to describe the season of fall and what it looks like in our lives, a couple words that come to mind are the words change and the word transition. Autumn is a time of change and transition in our lives. Some of you might remember several years ago, there was a book that came out that did really well. It was a book about change, and it was called Who Moved My Cheese? Did you read that book? It's a great book, a book about change, and the book did very, very well. It was New York Times bestseller for a long time, but I got to thinking about this. I think the reason a book like this did so well is because all of us, at multiple points in our lives, are confronted with some sort of change, aren't we? That's right. We all face change in our lives. It's inevitable. And the other thing is that probably all of us wish that we did a better job of dealing with change. You ever find yourself struggling with change? Right? I mean, the truth is we are creatures of habit, and we realize that more and more. We might think we're flexible. We might think we like change until change shows up, right? And because of that, most of us, and because we are creatures of habit, most of us, we feel threatened by change. And yet at the same time, this very thing that we feel threatened by, this very thing that we struggle with so much is just an inevitable part of our lives, change. We experience it all over. We experience it in our relationships. We experience it in our jobs. We experience it where we live. We experience it in our families. And if you think about it, we also experience it spiritually. That's right. And see, here's the ironic thing, okay? If you think about this for a second, our Creator, God, is unchanging, right? We believe that about God, that God never changes. And yet the ironic thing is, God, this unchanging, immovable God, is all about changing us, right? He is all about changing us. And of course, that's not just a one-time change that happens in our lives. No, no, what we find out is that following Jesus is not about reaching some sort of mountaintop. It's not about reaching some sort of destination. Following Jesus is a journey. And God is constantly at work in us. He's constantly forming us into becoming the people that he's created us to be. And so if there's any word that I think could describe that journey, it is the word change. Would you say that word with me? Ready? Change. Turn to the person next to you right now. Say, change. Ask him, do you like change, huh? Some of you, you don't like change because you sit in the same seat every weekend. Every weekend, I know where you're at. Boop, 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 boop. We're going to rearrange the chairs and mess you up a little bit. God's all about changing us. Which is why I think it's so ironic that if there's one group of people that seem to be very resistant to change, quite often it's Christians. Isn't that something? Or if there was, you know, I guess you could say it this way, some of the most resistant to change organizations and groups of people are oftentimes churches. Yeah, in fact, some of you know, a huge part of the Orchard story is a story of change. In fact, for those of you who don't know the story, it's a pretty radical story. For about 25 years, my dad, Larry Hodge, was the pastor and the leader of this church. And a few years ago, he came to the stark realization that the church, we were not reaching the people that we believe God was calling us to reach. And part of the reason for that was because while everything around us was changing, while the culture was changing, while, you know, the mindset of society and the people in our community were changing, the church was not changing. And as a result of that, the church was not growing. The church was not reaching the people God had called us to reach. Finances were declining. Leadership and staff were facing very low morale. And over time, what happened is the church began to find itself more focused and more in tune with the people on the inside than they were on the people on the outside. And as my dad began to confront the facts of where things were at, and they were brutal facts, as he began to confront these facts, he began to hear God speak to him this very same message over and over and over again in his heart, and it was this right here. Larry, one day when you stand before me, the question is not going to be, how comfortable were you in your Christianity? The question's not going to be, how comfortable were your people in their faith? No, no, no. Larry, one day when you stand before me, the question is going to be, what did you do with what I gave you? And it was that question that ignited something in my dad unlike anything I'd ever seen ignite him before, and that drove him to take the greatest risk of his entire life at almost the age of 60 to take literally everything he knew about how church is supposed to be done and do whatever was needed to help the church get back on the mission that God had called it to be on. And if you know the story, you know that's my dad called, invited me to move back home and help him here at the church and sort of help lead the church in that new direction. And you know, it's funny because sometimes when you're changing things, you don't always know where you're going, or you don't always know what it is you're wanting to become, but you oftentimes know what you don't want to be. You know what I'm saying? And so in the beginning for us, it was, well, we're not quite sure where we're going, but we certainly know what we don't want to be, so let's just stop doing the things that are making us who we don't want to be. But one thing we did know for certain, one thing we did know was that the last thing that our city, the last thing that Aurora needed was just another church. Yeah. What we realized was that the last thing that our city needed was just another quote-unquote church. And what we really believed was that our community needed a place, a safe place, where people could come and they could be loved, they could be embraced, they could be accepted, regardless of where they were at in their spiritual journey. The kind of place where they could safely bring their doubts, their struggles, their brokenness, and then together with a bunch of other broken people, learn to take steps forward in their journey of following Jesus. We knew that there was anything the city needed was that kind of place. And so, you know, here we are now, 7 years later. A lot's happened. And of course, this has become that kind of community. And if you've been here for any length of time, you've watched God's hand move in some pretty powerful ways here at the Orchard. But what we don't always realize and what we don't always know about the story is that none of that came without a great cost. Oh, it costs a lot. Yeah, it costs a lot of, a lot of friendships. Costs a lot of relationships. It costs a great deal of comfort. Cost us a lot of reputation. And it almost even cost us the church. I mean, there were weeks that we sat and we had the conversation of, you know, this could be our last weekend as a church. Well, you know, over time, we begin to learn a lot about change. We begin to learn a lot about this season of fall that we experience in our lives and our organizations and our churches, things like that. One of the things we learned is that when it comes to change, okay, when I say change, I mean real change, okay? One of the things we learned is that when it comes to real change is that there is always, both an external shift and an internal shift that must happen if change is truly going to take effect in our lives. In fact, it's the difference really between two words. I want to give you these two words. The words are change and transition. Would you say those two words with me? Ready? Change and transition. Now this is huge. I want you to get this, okay? Here's the difference. Change has a lot to do with the external changes that take place in our lives, in our churches, wherever. Transition, on the other end, has a lot to do and really has to do with a much deeper type of change that happens internally, deep inside of a person, in a mindset, in their heart, the way they think, the way they believe. Change, externals. Transition has to do with something happening on the inside. And here's why this is so important to understand, okay? Because here's the deal. You and I can make a lot of changes on the surface and yet never truly transition on the inside. We can make all kinds of changes on the outside. In fact, it's very common for a person or an organization or a church or, you know, to experience all these external changes without ever really going through the very difficult and very costly work of the deep internal transition. It can happen in our lives as individuals. I mean, you know, let's say you've probably known people like this, maybe they get transferred to a new city, or they move, they get a new job, they get a new house, and the thing people say oftentimes is, okay, oh, fresh start, right? I'm starting over. But here's the problem in the process. If they don't let go of the old way of living and the old way of thinking, what happens is they move, or they quote-unquote start over, and they find that their lives are exactly the same as they've always been, but now it just happens to be in a new house or a new city. Really, the internal change has not happened. What's happened is they maybe have made an external change, but they did not make an internal transition. Big difference. I mean, let's say, for example, and another example I think is, let's just say, a married couple decides one day they don't have any kids, but they decide they want to adopt a child. So what would that be, guys? Would that be change or would that be transition? You're afraid to answer because you know it's a trick question, right? Yeah, it's actually both. That's right. It's both. It's change and transition. Okay, here's the deal. Becoming a parent is a change. All right? And you can do nothing internal and you'll experience some sort of change. Right? But here's the thing. A true transition will mean that this couple has engaged in a process of letting go of the old way of life and the old way of thinking and embracing a new way of living and thinking as parents. Right? I mean, you can have children and not internally embrace that change in your life. It's going to make things pretty difficult, right? See, you and I are fully capable of experiencing external changes in our lives without ever really changing things on the inside. I see this all the time in people's when it comes to their faith. You know, I mean, anybody can put on Jesus, right? I mean, you can wear your Jesus t-shirt, right? Put a Jesus bumper sticker, Jesus breath mints, Jesus whatever, right? I mean, you get the Jesus hairdo, whatever that might look like, right? You can put Jesus all over you. You can wear your bumper stickers, right? Whatever it is. I mean, you can put Jesus on, but it's not the same thing as actually allowing him to lead your life, right? You can come to church, you can sing, You can even take notes, you can serve, you can do all these things that are really good things to do. That is not the same as actually being transformed on the inside by Jesus. Change has to do with externals. Transition has to do with what's happening internally. Now, here's something else we've learned about change, okay? This is kind of a big deal. The longer you wait to make changes, the costlier they are to make. Right? Think about that. The longer you wait to make changes, the costlier they are to make. And that's true whether it's an organization, that's true in a church, that's true as a person. The longer you wait to make changes in your life, the costlier they are to make. I'll never forget when I was a teenager, his sister would let him borrow her car, which was basically the worst decision she's ever made. But she had this sweet car. It was like a Mazda 626. Woo! Man, this thing would move. And so him and I, we would cruise around this car. It was sweet. It was, I'll be honest, it was a babe magnet. Yeah. No, anyway, so I'm not joking, okay? But anyway, that's beside the point, right? So anyway, so one night we're cruising around and we're, okay, he's driving, not the way you should be driving necessarily, but he's driving not drunk. Don't want you to think that. He was just driving crazy fast, taking curves. All of a sudden, on our way home, and he takes this turn, and the car, boom, dies. And so we're sitting there, and we're going, oh, and you know, it's funny because you always get really spiritual in those moments. We're like, Jesus, Lord, Lord, just heal the car, God. Heal the car, okay? We speak life into this car, okay? And, you know, so anyway, so we're sitting there. We're just, like, trying to come up with some story, you know. Well, it turns out the reason the car died was because it actually ran out of oil. Yeah, that's bad. That's really, really bad. And so the car got towed, and so the mechanic is looking at this car. It's a two-year-old car, okay? It's still under warranty. The mechanic asks his sister, hey, so when's the last time you added oil to the car? Her response was awful. It was, oh, am I supposed to do that? And so it ended up costing her a ton, because warranty wouldn't cover it because she didn't take care of the car. So anyway, it cost her a ton of money because she hadn't had a $20 oil change in over 2 years. The longer you wait to make changes, the costlier they are to make. Pastors, those of you listening online right now, listen to me. The longer you wait to bring change to your church, the more it's going to cost you down the road. I mean, think about the person who you know in your life who's neglected their health for years. And they know there needs to be some kind of change happening, right? Well, the longer they wait, the costlier that change ends up being. Sometimes it might even cost them their lives if they wait too long. See, I think the thing we forget sometimes is that change is inevitable. There's just no way around it. Change is always happening. You know, I mean, for us as a church, on the surface, it looked like the church wasn't changing, but really the church was changing. Culture's changing, society is changing, but on the surface, it seemed like we weren't, but we really were. We just weren't changing for the better. We were becoming more and more and more irrelevant to the culture around us. Same thing in our lives. Change is always happening. You know, people die. People are born. Relationships end. Relationships begin. Kids grow up. No matter how hard I try to keep my kids from growing up, our kids grow up. Our cars die. Our jobs, they change. I mean, there's a big part of change that is completely outside of our control, isn't there? And there's times we experience change in our lives that are the result of decisions we make. There's other times where the change is completely outside of our control. Well, here's the thing. What is within our control is how well we respond, how well we cooperate, and how much we allow that change to do its work in our lives. There's a lot we can't control, but there are things we can control. And so if you find yourself in a season of change right now, I would like to just ask, how are you handling it? How are you handling this season of change? Whether you're in control of the change or not in control, how are you handling the season of fall that you're experiencing right now? A few weeks ago, we did something that we don't like doing, but it's a good thing. We moved our clocks ahead. We lost an hour, right? Well, what does that mean? That means our days get longer. Aren't you glad? Don't you love a little more sunshine? Oh, man, I love it, right? Well, okay, that's this season we're physically in, but what happens in the fall? The opposite, right? The days get shorter. You lose some daylight. Parker Palmer, he's an author, educator, and activist. He said it really well. He said, autumn is a season of great beauty, but it is also a season of decline. The days grow shorter, the light is suffused, and summer's abundance decays towards winter's death. I think that's a good reminder of what this season looks like in our lives and how the season of fall is not just about embracing something new that is happening, but it also is about embracing, or letting go, I should say, of something old. It's not just about embracing the new, it's about letting go of something old. William Bridges, he's a guy that wrote a great book on change, and if you are in the midst of a corporate or church change, I would recommend any of his books, but he said this about change and transition. I thought it was really good. He says, transition is the process of letting go of the way things used to be and then taking hold of the new. I mean, that's it right there, right? It is the process of letting go of the old and taking hold of the new. See, that's our lives. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, that is built into the very fabric of creation. I mean, what's going on in your body right now? Your cells are in your body are dying at a rate of like millions per second. If you sit really still, you can feel it. Right? No, our skin, what's happening to our skin constantly flaking off, right? That's a nice thought. You're sitting in somebody's flakes right now from the earlier service, but they're good people, so it's all right. And you thought it was just like dust. No, think about it. Our body is continually replacing skin cells, right, with new ones, and we have entirely new, like, layer of skin. I think it's like every week or two, an entirely new layer of skin. Look, it's the same thing with our lives. Our lives are a series of, like, letting go moments and experiences. Little ones, big ones, from the time that we are, you know, little babies to the time that we're old people, right? I mean, our lives are a series of endings and beginnings, endings and beginnings, endings and beginnings. Something has to be let go of. Something has to die. It has to die. It's the only way to get to spring. I mean, think about that. There cannot be a season of spring if we remain stuck in the fall. There's got to be a letting go. And see, that's where this whole thing of change gets really tough for us in our lives. And this isn't talked about nearly enough, but that's why oftentimes when you're going through change, when you're experiencing change in your life, man, it brings up all kinds of emotions on the inside of us. I mean, sometimes you experience feelings of separation. Sometimes you have feelings of grief. Sometimes you have feelings of, like you've lost your identity. Have you ever talked to someone who they've gone through some massive change in their life, and you hear people say, I don't even know who I am anymore without this person in my life. Not I've lost this job, I don't even know who I am. You hear people say, you know, man, when I lost my home, when I lost my business, it was like a piece of me has died. I was talking to someone the other day. They were talking about how their kids were going away to college. And they said, man, our lives and our marriage are completely changed now. It's totally different. See, this can be a very scary time for us. In a way, I think what happens, there's those moments that we go through in transition, not just when things, maybe there's grief or those kind of feelings, but there's also those times, man, when things just feel neutral. You ever been in that season where things just feel, it's like things aren't necessarily bad, things aren't necessarily good, but things are just at this standstill. That's a tough season. It's like being in the midst of like nothingness. Like you'd almost rather things feel bad than things not to feel anything, right? I mean, you want to feel something. I know for us here at the Orchard, man, I remember there being a season that just felt like nothing good was happening at all. And we thought we were doing the right thing, man. We decided to change. We began letting go of the old. We began, and because of that, we began feeling the pain of letting go of the old. We started losing people. People were upset that we're changing things because we were changing. So we're losing people. Our finances went like this. I mean, we were significantly hurting. And then on top of all of that, it felt like we were just in this neutral zone. We were just losing. We weren't gaining. Just losing, losing, losing. Momentum was almost non-existent. It was a tough, tough season. One loss after another. But thankfully, looking back now, there's just some things you can see down the road that there is no way you can see when you're in the midst of it. And if you've been through change in your life, if you've been through a season of fall in your life and enough time has gone by, one of the things you begin to see is that oftentimes when you are in the middle of change, when you're in the middle of this season of fall in your life, your view of things is very, very narrow. Extremely narrow, which means, okay, that means a lot. Okay, for example, that means that you cannot always trust your feelings. It means you can't always trust your emotions. It means, okay, that what you think seems to be happening may not be happening, and what you think isn't happening may be happening, because you're really only seeing a very small part of it, and you're only really seeing, sometimes not at all, what's really happening beneath the surface. Just don't see it. I think we have to talk about these things because rarely, I think, do people warn us about these things or help prepare us for the tough parts that come along with going through change. And see, sometimes you don't even have time to prepare, right? I mean, sometimes things happen in your life like that. Something tragic, you get that phone call, something, you lose your job like that, totally unexpected. And there's some of you I know because I know your story. Some of you lost loved ones just like that, gone. So there's no time to prepare. And so somewhere in there, it's like you have to trust that well, okay, I this didn't take God by surprise, so I'm gonna at least hold on to the hope that since this didn't take him by surprise, that somehow he's prepared me for this moment. But I mean, sometimes you don't have time to prepare. I mean, and then on top of that, seldom do you really take time to identify what it is you're losing to begin with. I mean, don't you think we overall stink with that, don't we, in our lives? We don't take time. I mean, we don't take time to mourn losses in our lives. You ever, and I'm not even just referring to losing someone, although I would say that we tend to move way too fast oftentimes through when someone passes away. People, and unless you're the one going through it, everybody around you thinks you should get over it much faster than you're getting over it, right? People give you a little bit of time, but not much. But I mean, just think beyond that. Think about the things we lose every day in our lives. I mean, maybe for some of you, you've had a change in your job, and so you're no longer leading or working with a group of people that you really deeply loved and cared about. And that hurts. You feel that every day of your life. I mean, some of you know, and that's why sometimes, I'll ask someone, who's gone through some major change in their life, whether it's relational or in a job or whatever. And it always bothers me when I hear someone, when I ask them, how are you doing? And they respond like, oh, hey, I'm doing fine. Everything's great. As though it's no big deal. Wait, hold on a second, because most of the time it is a big deal. And what I'm concerned about in this moment is that if you think everything's just rosy and fine, my concern is you're not processing this well. And if you're not processing it well, this is going to come out some other time. This is the time to do it. I mean, it can be pretty tough, especially, I mean, even times when things seem very minor. I love this. Another quote I want to show you. Marilyn Ferguson, who I actually have no idea who she is, but she has got a good quote. I think she wrote a gardening book or something, which as an avid gardener, I've read all her books. Somebody's beeping right now. That does not distract me, though. Okay, let's read this quote. Jesus. All right, I'm staying focused. Let's read this. I'm going to read this quote to you. It's not so much that we're afraid of change or so in love with the old ways, but it's that place in between that we fear. Listen to this. It's like being in between trapezes. It's quite a picture. It's Linus when his blanket is in the dryer. There's nothing to hold on to. Reason for that is because there cannot be a taking on of something new without there being a letting go of something old. Listen to me. If there's going to be a healthy transition of any kind in your life, there must always be a letting go of some sort. And sometimes that's going to mean letting go of past failures. Sometimes that means letting go of past successes. Sometimes that means letting go of past relationships. Sometimes it means letting go of nostalgia. See, part of the problem is how intoxicating it can be to live in the past. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Intoxicating, what are you talking about? No, listen, I say intoxicating because here's what happens. You know this as well as I do, all right? The further away we are from the past, the better we seem to remember it, but not necessarily the clearer, right? Think about it. Oftentimes what happens, the details end up getting lost in the dream, right? And so what can happen is that in the end, what we remember isn't even what happened. Or it's quite a bit different, right? And so the result is that like history actually becomes lost in this thing called nostalgia. And nostalgia feels so good that we have a hard time letting go of it. Listen, memories are intended to be fuel for the future. Did you hear me? Memories are intended to be fuel for the future. They are not intended to become some sort of alternative reality in which we choose to hide from the present challenges. Change is tough because it always involves letting go, and letting go is always a hard thing to do. So this leads to a couple of questions that I want to ask you. And these are the kind of questions you might want to write down and then just go home and think about. And I think all of us here ought to write these questions down. Maybe if you don't have a pen, ask your neighbor. Just help yourself in their purse. There's probably one in there. Get a piece of gum while you're at it. In fact, just take all the money out of that purse as well. We're going to have another giving time. No, I'm just kidding. Here's the first question. What is it time for me to let go of? What is it time for me to let go of? If you're going through a season of change in your life, I want to encourage you to take time to, first of all, identify what it is that needs to be let go of and take the time to grieve that loss. Listen, do not deny yourself that opportunity to grieve. See, the reason you want to grieve well is not just so that you can feel better. It's so that you can truly transition on the inside and embrace whatever newness it is that God wants to bring into your life. Because remember, there cannot be a taking on of something new without there being a letting go of something old. And so the question is, what is it time for me to let go of? You know what Jesus said one time? He said, if you lose your life, you will find it. Right? There's a losing that has to occur before you find the new. There's a letting go. And see, that's how the world works. That's how our souls work. That's how life works. And so if you're in a season of transition, I want you to take that question home and I want you to think about it. What is it time for me to let go of? Here's the next question, okay? And if this is a season you're in, or maybe you've recently come out of a season of change and transition in your life, here's a great question to ask yourself. What am I learning? What am I learning? Listen, there are things that you will learn during times of change that will be absolutely invaluable to your life. Don't waste that opportunity. I mean, what a shame it would be for you to go through the pain of change and transition and not learn anything from it. Right? One thing that I know a lot of us can attest to is that if you really, really pay attention to what's going on during times of change, you'll find that you almost always grow a ton during those times. Some of your greatest growth in your life happened during a time of change and transition. You think back. You learn a lot about yourself. You know what sometimes we learn when we go through change? You may find that your sense of self-worth has been tied and attached more to a job or to a person or a position or a title than it is to the one that we worship, Jesus. Right? And see what happens, and this happens to me all the time. I realize that I have a lot of opportunity. This is a positive way of saying it. I have a lot of opportunity to learn to trust God more. And I see there's times in my life when I'm trusting not God, but I'm trusting my finances, or I'm putting my trust in human ability instead of God's ability. And so there's opportunity to try to get to a place where God's approval and God's understanding of my role is more than enough to fulfill my sense of self-worth. And that I can be fine with what God thinks of me, and that's it. And I'm going to look into one mirror for my true identity. I'm going to stop looking at all these other mirrors that I'm surrounded with in my life. I also think during these times of transition, one of the things we learn is that community means more to us than we ever imagined or realized. You know, you can think you understand community, but you almost really don't fully understand it until you really were in desperate need of it. And you experience it. And see, here's the thing. The worst thing to do is to wait until you're in those tough moments to build community around you. That's a hard time to do it. So build community around you so that you're prepared for those moments. Some of you, what I would encourage you to do is, if you're going through a season of change, take time to process it. Get a journal. Journal about it, write down your feelings, document the journey, start a blog. I mean, share what you're learning. Share it with other people, write about it on Facebook. But sometimes people write too much on Facebook, but anyway. Just hate my ex, I wanna kill him. Oh, that's smart. Just hope that he don't get murdered anytime soon, because guess who's gonna be looking guilty? Okay. Sometimes I think people forget that they befriended me on Facebook. Some of the photos on there, women, woo! Guys, you need to work on yourself, some of you guys. But anyway, no, all right, let's just keep moving. So what is it time for me to let go of? What am I learning? Here's another question. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one, but I think it's worth asking. How am I embracing the new? I think this might have to do with posture. I'm not even totally sure what this means, but I think it has to do with how you're embracing and what your posture looks like as you're embracing the new. Okay, am I embracing it with lots of hesitation? And if so, why are you embracing it with hesitation? Sometimes you should embrace the new with hesitation. Sometimes you should. Sometimes it's the wise thing to do, right? But is that hesitation, though, is it rooted in something else? Is it rooted in fear, anxiety? So how am I embracing the new? Well, that question, really all these questions, I think should follow this last one that I want to give you, because it has a lot to do with something that I think probably all of us ought to make some kind of decision about in our lives. And regardless of what season you're in right now, this is a question I want you to really ask yourself, and it's this one right here. Who am I trusting? Who am I trusting? Now, there's a story that, especially if you are in a season of change in your life right now, there's a story you have to go home and read when you get a chance. It's a story that's found in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, and it's about a man by the name of Joseph. And what you'll find here is this man named Joseph, this man went through more major transitions in his life than most of us put together. Oh, yeah. I mean, you talk about seasons. This guy understood the concept of seasons. I mean, when he was a little boy, the dude was living in summer all the time. Isn't that how it was for many of us? Right? Some of you not. Some of you, your childhood was winter, right? But for many of us, our childhood, it was summer. Everything was great, right? We thought we had challenges. What I would do to have those challenges now, right? But Joseph was in summertime. He was his dad's favorite. You guys remember the fancy coat, Technicolor dream coat, right? So Joseph's wearing that coat, ticked his brothers off because he was dad's favorite. Well, anyway, in his late teens, as he got a little bit older, his life began to look a lot more like the season of fall. His brothers, loving, kind brothers, sold him into slavery. He was taken to Egypt, and for a while, even in Egypt, things were looking pretty good. Things were not too bad. He got promoted. He apparently was hot because his boss's wife was trying to seduce him. Either that or her husband was god-awful ugly, one of the two. But anyway, but Joseph, so what does Joseph do? He takes off, runs away. She gets mad, and so she's like, you ain't gonna run away from me. And so she makes up this big lie that he tried to seduce her. This is called Days of Our Lives, folks. All right? And so anyway, so then he gets thrown in prison, where he enters into several years of winter. Well, finally, one day, spring showed up in his life, and he was eventually released, and the story, it just has all these twists and turns, and it would make a great movie. But here's the thing I want you to see. The significant truth in all of this is that three times in those chapters, there's the same phrase that shows up, and it's the phrase that goes like this. But the Lord was with Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph. Say it with me. But the Lord was with Joseph. See, there was never a time in Joseph's life when God was not with him. Never a time. When he was thrown into that ditch, God was with him. When he was in prison, God was there. When he was doing well, when he was flying high, God was with him. When he was running from his boss's wife, God was with him. Even in the scary places, God was with him. Joseph knew God was with him and that God was for him. And can I tell you something? If there is anything that will help us as we journey through these seasons of life, it is learning to trust that same thing, that God is with us and that he is for us, and that you and I, we can reach out and we can ask our Creator. We can ask God to help us whenever we find ourselves lacking trust. We can ask him. And over time, no matter how difficult the circumstances might be, you know what you'll see over and over again is you'll see the Father's heart. You'll see a Father's heart that is for us. And here's the thing, if God is for us, then in the words of the psalmist, okay, who really can ever truly be against us? Listen, if you're in a season of transition in your life right now, I want you to leave here today encouraged. And you may not see the big picture, okay? And you may not understand what it is you're going through. You may not feel like you have any idea of what your future holds or what's next. But one thing that you can choose to do is to trust the heart of a God who loves you and cares for you very, very, very much. And his promise is that he will never leave you, ever. You may not always feel him. There may not always be, you know, Las Vegas lights on it like we'd like there to be, right? But he promises to be there. You know why he promises to be there? Not because you've earned it. Not because you deserve it. Not because you've somehow obtained some sort of spiritual level of excellence in your life. No, the reason for that, the reason he's there for you is because he loves you, period. He loves you. And he wants you and he wants me to grow through these seasons of change. Because at the end of the day, and here's why I think all this is so important. All right, listen. The reason I think it's important that we learn to embrace change is because not only are we called to be changed and to embrace change, but we are called, listen, you and I, we are called to be catalysts of change and to bring beauty and restoration to this hurting, broken, suffering world around us. If there's no other reason for us to embrace change, it's that right there. We are called to bring change and to bring restoration and beauty to the world around us. My prayer is that we would be people who don't just change, but who allow God to do the deeper work of change and transformation and transition in our hearts and in our souls. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Just for a second, just where you're sitting, I want you to, just for a moment, to think about some of the major changes that have happened in your life. Just look back, maybe over the last few years. What are some of the major changes that have happened in your life? And for some of you, the change was a job change. For some of you, the change was losing someone who you loved an awful lot. For others of you, is moving to a new place, a new home. For some of you, is having children. And now I want you to think about the God of this universe. Our God who is unchanging, who is the same at all times, while everything around us might be changing and it might be shifting. God is always there. He is always the same. And yet at the same time, he is all about changing us, constantly changing us, making us more and more like him, bringing about newness in our lives, which always requires us to let go of the old so that we can embrace the new. So today, I think like the best thing we could do is just get very, very honest and just ask the question of what do we need to let go of in order to make room for the new that God wants to bring into my life? Yeah, but Scott, it's not easy. No, I know it's not. No one ever said it'd be easy. Never easy. But what does God want to do in our hearts and in our lives? I think of the words of the prophet Isaiah, and I think these are his words to us today that says this in Isaiah 43. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. God says, behold, I am doing a new thing. God, today we come to you. And I think what we need to ask for is a great amount of courage in our hearts. And we need to ask you to fill us not just with courage, but to fill us with great hope. So that we can let go of those things. Maybe for some it's letting go of habits in our lives that are really holding us back. Maybe for others it's ways of thinking, the way we're living, things like pride, whatever it might be. But God, today we call on you and we ask you for courage, and you gladly give us that. And we can ask that because, well, we're not alone, and so we have your Spirit that fills us and that gives us strength. God, thank you for your promise in our lives. Would you just take a moment and just thank him for his promise to always be there for you? God, we thank you for your promise that you are always there. We may not always feel you, but God, we trust that you are there. And we trust that no matter what we go through, we are never, ever, ever alone. Friends may walk away from us, but you never walk away. You are always there. God, we embrace that. And we embrace the newness in our lives. And we embrace the courage to let go of the old as we do that. We pray that, Father. And we thank you, God, for these things. And we pray all of this in your son's beautiful name. And everyone said, amen.